Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the second chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with the first verse and going on to the 21st. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Second reading comes from the Epistle to the Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 to 17. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." May the Lord bless to us this reading of His holy word. So today is Pentecost. It's an important day in the life of the church. This is the day when Most years we share together that special story from the book of Acts. We remember how after Jesus went up to heaven, he had told his disciples to wait, to gather together in Jerusalem and wait to be prepared. And as they were gathered, God sent his Holy Spirit to them. The Spirit appeared like tongues of flame dancing over their heads. And when they had received the Spirit, they went out into the street and they preached the good news of the gospel. Not just preached, but preached in an amazing way, because it was one of those times of celebration when Jerusalem was filled with people from all over the world, and every person there heard the disciples speaking in their own native language. And that so impressed the people that they asked to hear more and more. And eventually a huge crowd of people believed and were baptized. The Church of Jesus Christ was born. Since so much of that story depends on that coming of the Holy Spirit, I thought maybe we'd talk about that this morning. The Holy Spirit. Except, if I am going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, we'll still be here Wednesday. Huge topic. But as I was thinking about that, I came across that phrase in Paul. He talks about the Spirit of adoption. Now, that's not the entire Holy Spirit, but that's an important part of it, especially for us as a church. I've noticed how important it is for you in your worship. I find it a strange coincidence that this is the first Sunday that we don't have coffee and conversation before worship starts. I don't agree with that quite. I think this is going to surprise some of you a little. But I think what goes on back there before church starts, that's worship. That is the people of God sharing their lives together in this world. That is the history of this church being formed Sunday by Sunday. It is sharing our joys, our needs, our tears. It is worshiping God as a people. Think about that. For us, our faith begins when Jesus dies on the cross. He suffered there in our place. He died so that our sins could be forgiven. And in his sacrifice, he not only accomplished God's great plan of salvation, just as important, he demonstrated God's love for us. Oh, what love Christ showed. As one of the prophets said, God shows to us love like the love of a mother. Mother who never forgets, never forsakes, never abandons her children. That's the love God has for us. Jesus himself tells us when his disciples ask him how they should pray, that we should begin our prayers by saying, Our Father. There was actually a time when I thought there was something wrong with that phrase. To call God the Lord of creation, the sustainer of the universe, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, to call such an amazing being Father sounded like blasphemy to me. Raises us up too high, or it drags God down too low. How dare anybody call God anything but God? But there is something inside us that when we hear of the greatness of God's love and God's mercy, there's something that grasps our heart and soul and makes us cry out, "Dear Father, how you love me." That something, says Paul, is God's Holy Spirit. It is God Himself touching us and lifting us to that place that our gracious God has prepared for us. It is the Spirit of adoption that lifts us up. God's own love, affirming us as God's own children. God lifts us up to be Christ's brothers and sisters. It's the Spirit of adoption which reminds us this is not just ours by right. This is God's gift to us. Our place as heirs to the kingdom is not something we can earn or demand. It is God's choice and gift through His love. We are Christ's brothers and sisters. We are God's children. I think we're God's children in three ways. First, we are God's children in glory. Okay, maybe that goes backwards, but it fits Paul's argument here. As God's children, we are joint heirs with Christ to God's wondrous kingdom. That includes living lives in God's presence here in the world. Also includes a place in God's wondrous kingdom yet to come. Second, we are God's children in the church. Paul doesn't say that quite as clearly here as he does in other places. But still, we are joint heirs with Christ. He and each one of us, all together. So, as we say from time to time, we call God Father and accept Christ as joint heir and brotherly Lord. We become brothers and sisters together through Christ. Just like Christ cared for us, the love He showed us on the cross, we're supposed to love each other, caring and supporting each other, laughing and rejoicing together, even crying together. We are family in the God we share. We should be willing to do together for each other all the things that families do. Now that sounds romantic, but as I remember my family, I come to think that that also has to do with fighting. Because families fight, don't they? But families fight fair. They love each other. They trust each other. They respect each other, even when they're arguing. Even when families fight in some strange way, there is still love there between them. We're family. In the God we share, in the Lord we worship, in the Spirit who dwells here among us. We should show that relationship. How we live together, how we treat each other should be as family. And finally, we are God's children in the world. At this point, did you notice the last verse I read talks about suffering? We often forget, but Jesus never promised his followers easy lives. Still, he made promises. He loved the entire world as his family, suffered on the cross for their sake. As we are called to be a part of that family, to share that love, that means sometimes suffering is going to be a part of our world too. Sometimes it's just the general suffering that everybody goes through. The sorrow, the misery, the illness. All the problems of living in this world. But there are also times when we may suffer because of our faith. After all, we are out of style today. So much of the world doesn't understand how we can hold to prayer in an age of rockets and computers. Some people see us as a little simple for doing that. Sometimes, like Christ did, we may even suffer for the sake of others, in place of or just helping someone else who's suffering. In the leading of our lives, we will suffer. But we will suffer in the presence of our family, with our Heavenly Father and brother walking beside us, with the Holy Spirit who draws us all together, with those around us who offer their support and their prayers. As I was writing this sermon, I kept thinking in the words of Paul about a song that I knew a long time ago. I don't know if any of you have heard it or not. It was, I think, sung by a young lady named Nancy Honeytree. And basically the idea of the song was, as I walk through the world with all its problems and I try to help, try to show God's love, may people, when they look upon my face, see my Father's eyes. You see, another thing that families have is this resemblance we share. I mean, how often when a baby's born is it, oh, look, he has his father's eyes. Oh, wonderful, he has his mother's ears. Oh, gosh, he has Aunt Jean's chin. Shouldn't we show some resemblance to God, even if it's just in the love that shines behind our eyes? In God's name, who first loved us, may we love each other. May that love extend not just to our church family, but to all people everywhere. But always remember, in God's love, we are family. Let's pray. There are many times in life when we feel alone. Times when we just feel like nobody cares. It's easy to say you always care for us, O God, but somehow you sometimes seem so far away. So instead, you've given us this huge, amazing family. The world calls it a church. We know it to be more. We know it to be brothers and sisters who will help us and cry with us and laugh with us, and who will give us chances to do the same things with them. Thank you, God, for giving us visible signs of life and love in this world. Amen. And now we prepare to do something else that families do together. We're going to gather at table. We're going to share a meal. A very special meal. Let's prepare ourselves to celebrate the Lord's Supper, singing the words of hymn number 123. Please stand.
Thank you.
seated. Those of you who were here early enough saw the elders preparing this table for our celebration. But that's not quite right, is it? This table was prepared by our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has invited all who believe and trust in Him to share this feast that He has prepared. Let's pray. Holy God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, with joy we give You thanks and praise. You commanded light to shine out of darkness, stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You made all things through Your word. We thank You for creating us in Your image, and for keeping us in Your steadfast love. We praise You for calling us to be Your people, for revealing Your purpose in the law and the prophets, for dealing with our pride and disobedience. How wonderful are Your ways, Almighty God. How marvelous is Your name, O Holy One. You alone are God. Therefore, with apostles and prophets and that great cloud of witnesses who live with You beyond all time and space, we lift our hearts in joyful praise. We praise You, most holy God, for sending Your only Son, Jesus, to live among us, full of grace and truth. He made You known to all who received Him, sharing our joy and sorrow. He healed the sick and was a friend of sinners. Obeying You, He took up His cross and died that we might live. We praise You that He overcame death and rose to rule the world, and that He is still the friend of sinners. We trust Him to overcome every power that might hurt or divide us. And we believe that when He comes in glory, we will celebrate victory with Him. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, that this bread and this cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord, and that we and all who share this feast may one day be with Christ and He with us. Fill us with eternal life, that with joy we may be His faithful people until we feast with Him in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are Yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. The Lord Jesus, on the night of His arrest, took bread. When He had broken it, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is My body, broken for you. When you do this, remember Me." In the same way He took the cup after supper. Having given thanks, He said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is My new commandment. Whenever you do this, remember Me." Now every time we eat this bread or drink this cup, we show our Lord's death until He comes again. We remind you that as the bread is passed out, you are asked to take a piece and hold it. When everyone has been served, I will say some words and we will share together in our communion. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never hunger. Those who believe in me will never thirst. No one who comes to me will I ever turn away. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you are separated from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant us that we may now go into the world in the strength of your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn for the morning is number 293. Please stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, recognize yourselves as family. Pray for each other. Cry with each other. Laugh with each other. Help each other. Love each other. For this is what Christ has taught us. Amen.